Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A while back, I had a morning off, and as I'm sure you also are wont to do, I, of course, cleaned out my closet. Isn't that what you do on your day off? Clean out your closets? Well, I did, and it was a part of my closet. I will confess, I am not a type A personality, and so this is, in fact, the first time I've been in a closet in 8 years. And, you know, if you live in Hawaii very long, you find that when you don't clean something for 8 years, all kinds of scary things gather in the dark corners. And so I was pulling out boxes and pulling out papers and pulling out bags of music. And in the back of my closet, I looked back there, and there was a piece of wood. Now, I have to confess, although I am not a pack rat, I have on occasion that if I find something or something breaks, I will sometimes take it apart and keep the parts that I think I might use again. So I sat there on my bed and I pondered, what in the world did I keep the piece of wood for? After all, I have scads of wood sitting out in the garage with which make various and sundry things. Why did I keep this piece of broken wood? So then I turned it over. I turned it over and I thought, oh, even better, there's writing on the wood. Now, why is there writing on the wood? And so I put it all back together and I read, Jeff, first board, 8/16/2001. Like I'd never touched a board before 2001. And then at the bottom it says, good job, C. Anderson. And then I remembered. This was, in 2001, the very first board I ever broke as a white belt in Taekwondo. I must have been pretty proud of it to keep it for all of these years. And I remember what a sense of accomplishment it was that very first time to take and punch through that board. It was just fabulous. So a lot of years went by, and I found something else in my closet, by the way, that reminded me of those years that had gone by, because after a few years, after I broke that first board, the same Chantal Anderson put this around my waist. And this is a black belt. It takes years to achieve. So I finally got my first dan in Taekwondo as a black belt. And I remember as her father, Chip, because Chantal had passed away, as her father wrapped that belt around my waist and began to tie it. There's not that many black belts around. As he began to tie it, I remember thinking to myself, finally, I am done. After years and years of training, years and years of getting up, we had a 6 o'clock in the morning class. 6 a.m. class, and we would do 50 sit-ups, 50 push-ups, 50 lunges, 50 laps around the dojang, and we would do that twice during our training, and then we would spar, and then we would have to learn these awful forms. Sometimes it would have 70 parts, and they had to be performed perfectly, and he wrapped that belt around my waist, and I thought, finally, I am done, and then he wraps it around, and he says to me, now you're ready to start. It had just begun. I thought of that story because in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus has been arguing with the authorities of the church over a healing. They're doubting whether or not he is the Messiah. His disciples finally have decided that they have found the Messiah, that he is the one. And in that text about the good shepherd, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I'm the good shepherd because I lay down my life for my sheep. But in the middle of that text is this oft-overlooked little section. It's one that I've been using for years, where Jesus says, "But there are other sheep who are not of this flock, and they belong to me also. And there will be one flock." David Lowe points out in his commentary that that little bit of scripture reminds us that God is just beginning. In a way, we in the church, having come to our post-Easter, post-resurrection lives, sort of like disciples, breathe a little sigh of relief and say, "Oh, we're finally here. We finally have arrived." But this text reminds us that God is not quite done. I've always used this text or thought about this text when I've been around folks, especially kind of hardcore Christian folks, who want to tell me that because I don't believe like they do, or because I include people that they don't want to include in the kingdom of God, or that people do not yet know Jesus, that they're all going to hell. That they're less than everyone else. And they say, they can quote scripture after scripture after scripture pointing that out to me, and I always come back to this little text in John. And I say, well, I'm not so sure that's right, because God's not quite done yet. Maybe they're part of this other flock that God is still working to bring. Maybe God is at work already there. God is not quite done. And sadly, or maybe joyously, either are we. When God poured water over our heads and called us children of God, it felt maybe a little like when Chip put that black belt around me and we felt like we've arrived. We're done. But I think in having that water poured over our head and those blessings put upon our body, God says instead, we are just beginning. Now we're ready to start. I'm not done yet, God says, and I'm sending you. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. But what are the sheep going to follow? And what will the sheep do now? I know it gets people a little nervous when I talk like this, because those of you who volunteer a lot are sitting there thinking, oh God, he has more work for us to do. I'm not sure that's what it's about. When God says there are others, other flocks that belong to me, and I'm going to send you out, I don't think of it more as more work, but rather as more life. That's our call. Imagine if what God is up to in this continuing work, this new start, is us in the world. There are probably the thing I hear about most in the church these days is how worried people are. It's kind of pervading the world. We could even use our own congregation as an example. When I went back in the records a while back, and this service used to average 112 people. 112. I know you're like, wow, really? Yeah. Like every other church, and I mean every other church just about, in the Christian world, we are shrinking. And there's a kind of panic setting in among folks. They're beginning to wonder whether or not what we're doing is right, and they're beginning to wonder. See, even Mary's leaving. I've had enough of this. I'm out of here. We can't even keep the deacons. No, they begin. Yeah, you'll be back. Yeah, that's what they all say. Yes, thank you. People drift off. People find other things. People move away and then are not replaced. But the biggest thing folks are worried about is, where are the young people? They're worried that the future of the church is finding its way to other places. But I think we're just getting started. While we may see this as a kind of ending, I really truly believe that this is a beginning. That this is a way for us to start and to follow this good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. In an article I read recently, this is the first one of the few that I've read, a young columnist wrote, and she said, contrary to what you've heard, young people are being drawn back to the church. And they say, do you know what the future for youth in church is? What kind of church they're looking for? Any guesses? Go ahead, Bill. You know the answer. Yes. What in the world are they thinking? It's really weird. There is this kind of shift in the world again, and it'll change again. But for the moment, strangely enough, young people are finding this good shepherd leading them back to mystery, back to liturgy, back to communities. Now, some of the churches who have been saying that we're terrible for a lot of years are a little hacked off about that, by the way. But there's room for everyone. You see, when the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, when the good shepherd calls us, God calls us to be faithful in our life together and to do the work that we're called to, even if it may not always look the same. I'm heartened and hopeful, and this came last night. We did our family retreat last night, and if you were at the 8 o'clock service, you would have seen a bunch of people in church in pajamas, which I have to say is a career first for me. But they all had spent the night before, and they spent the night in Eisenberg Hall, and they had a campfire. But early in the evening, we came in here, and right in this space, this sacred choir space right here, we danced. We had a dance party in church. You can go to the Facebook page, and there's a little snip of it there. And it was all funky music. Right? And the kids would dance and dance. And I was just astonished at the energy of both the kids and the adults. They were rocking it. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and the sheep can even dance. Our hope doesn't lie just in what comes in the past or what might be coming in the future, but that God is at work right now through you. Through overnight retreats where children and adults dance and laugh and make s'mores and wake up overly tired and have cold pizza for breakfast. Yes! But also through the work that you do with your hands. You are the sheep who feed the hungry. You are the sheep that proclaim God's presence. You are the ones who invite your friends to come and learn and share their faith and teach us. I think the sheep are the ones who are being called to God's ministry because God is not yet done. You know, when a congregation builds a new building, they spend years getting ready for it. Decades raising the money. And then they build the edifice and it's wonderful, and the bishop comes and they dedicate the church, and then on the day after the dedication they sit around in a big circle and they go, what do we do now? Maybe that's where we are. We've built the great edifice. We've had 115 years of wonderful ministry, and maybe it feels like we've gotten our black belts and we've earned a rest, but we're just beginning. God is just starting with us right now. I don't know what the future looks like, but I know that the Good Shepherd will be in the midst of it. That as God's people, we are cared for and loved and guided by a God who sent his only Son to die, and that calls us out into the world to share that story, bring food to the hungry and clothe the naked, and care for the very creation itself. God is just getting started. And God is just getting started with you. Amen.